Before we officially start our meeting, we always follow the precedent set by our founding fathers by offering an invocation and the pledge. Mr. Kenzie Jackson is going to offer an invocation.
Would you please stand? Father God in heaven, we come to you tonight with grateful hearts for our life and our health and for living in this beautiful place. We ask that you would put your hand on this meeting, guide us, help us to understand what we're doing, and help us to do the right thing. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Once again, welcome. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come be part of our governmental process. And we've got a full agenda tonight, so I'm not going to say a whole lot. Get started. So let's see here. We have the first item on our agenda is public comment. We have a 15-minute time limit. Do we have anyone with the public who would like to address the board before we enter business?
And Darrell, you might mention that there will be an opportunity for public comment at the end of the meeting as well.
Yes, there is. Before we adjourn, we have another round of public comment. Yes, sir.
Is now the time?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Will you please state your name and what else do you need?
Just your name would be great.
Okay.
Certainly. My name is Huxley Coulter.
Okay.
I'm the first son of Clinton and Melinda Coulter, who own property on Fire Tower Road at 124 Fire Tower Road.
Okay.
This is the same road at which the cell tower proposal will be sited. My parents' property borders the property where the cell tower permit has been applied for.
Okay.
When my parents die, along with my brother, inherit the property.
Okay.
So again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all, and also y'all being here tonight and serving on this board. I see that y'all are supporting us, the community, and making sure that the rules are followed. And I appreciate the time that y'all have committed to this process. I got a hold of the telecommunications tower ordinance, Transylvania County telecommunications ordinance, and just wanted to share again section 21, the retention of an expert assistance, and in that section, the county may retain a consultant or expert necessary to assist the county review and evaluate the application for a proposed tower. The county may also request expert assistance for other issues, such as the cost of the expert assistance shall be consistent with state law and will be paid for by the applicant. So, as I understand this, it's possible for you all to request that an independent review of this permit application or this permit be done at the expense of the applicant. And I personally, from what information I've received, believe that the application doesn't meet the requirements of this ordinance, in that I haven't seen that extraordinary economic hardship has been proven. That is, as I understand it, the reason for the request for a variance. So it's an unusual situation that this variance, variance means an unusual situation. It doesn't fall into what's the normal procedure. So not being someone who's familiar with these things, it makes sense to me to bring in an expert who could review it. So thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. And I will ask, Joy, would that be our role to request that, or would that fall? As I understand it, our role is to make a recommendation to commissioners. The role of them engaging someone for assistance would be their decision, not ours, because we're just asking for a We just offer a recommendation as a board, right? To the, to the commissioners. So the decision to engage outside expert help would be something they would pursue, not necessarily us.
Or the county manager if there was not staff to review it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I just want to make sure. When we get to that, we'll... Do you understand that portion?
So I think I'm hearing that you all wouldn't be the ones to request that independent review, rather someone at the county commission.
The board of commissioners. Yes.
Board of commissioners.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Our role here is to make a recommendation to the commissioners regarding the variance, and that's where our role ends. Something along the lines of what you're talking about, engaging an outside expert for their assistance. That is a decision either the county commissioners would make or the county managers.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
I wanted to clarify to make sure you understood our role and to make sure I understood our role.
Yeah, we're all
as opposed to
the same page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now, the commissioners wouldn't be asking for outside assistance, so they would be. We're talking about doing that at the applicant's expense, right?
Yes.
So would the applicant have to be going to request that? And we would
the county. But the head of the county is the county commissioner.
So then our recommendation would be if we decided to go that route, then we would just recommend that we pass it up to them and get outside expert.
Yeah. That may be part of your recommendation if you wish.
Yeah. Okay.
We could recommend a denial or approval based upon...
And, yeah, okay.
Based upon what we hear.
Yeah.
It's okay. The county commissioners can ask for outside help if they need it, or county manager. Or okay, got it.
Thank you. All right, any other member of the public would like to address the board? All right, going once, twice. All right, we'll move on down the agenda. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your comments. Next item is approval of the agenda. Everyone's had an opportunity to review the agenda. I would like to propose that we move the item A under new business and allow that presentation. That's a presentation, right? Allow that presentation to be given to us before we enter old business. Those folks very well may be here to talk about the tower as well, and they may not. So there's a lot of business, a lot of talking and discussion to be done before we get to that, and I hate to tie them up if they're not here for that. So,
would that approve the agenda with that change?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. All right. Agenda is approved, and we'll move that up. Item A under new business will become item, I'm going to slot it in as, can we say 5A? We'll entertain that between item 5 and item 6. Okay. Approval of the minutes. Approval of the minutes from our August 23rd, 2018 meeting in September.
Not September.
Okay.
There was no quorum, so there were no
so
minutes.
There
was just
no
public
minutes.
Input. Yes.
Okay.
It's the August 23rd special meeting minutes.
I'll move to a motion to approve those minutes from August 23rd.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Subdivision approvals and updates. Joy?
Between August 23rd and October 17th, there was one plat review. There were 7 recombinations where 2 previous lots were recombined into one. There was one lot or one subdivision based on inheritance. And there were 5 family subdivisions prior to inheritance. And then there were 10 changing of boundary lines between adjoining property owners. That is a total of 24 exceptions to the definition of subdivision.
Any board members have any questions? So if you don't mind, just briefly explain to those in attendance what we're reviewing here now.
The subdivision ordinance comes into play whenever a parcel of land is divided into additional lots. So it can be a single parcel that is divided into two lots, or it can be 75 acres that are divided into 100 lots. Both of those cases are a subdivision of land. However, there are 9 exceptions to the definition of subdivision in the ordinance. One is, it was two lots that were put into one. That is not a division of land, that is a recombination of land. One is that both of the parcels are greater than 10 acres. One is that it was public acquisition of land for the widening of roads, so the right-of-way. One is 2 acres divided into no more than 3 lots. And one is a single lot inherited by will. One is a family subdivision. So a person who is still alive wishes to give their niece and their daughter a lot, or their daughter a lot. One is a court order of land. One is the division of land for cemetery lots. And one is changing the boundary lines between adjoining property owners. Those exceptions allow for the division of land without the upgrade of roads. The subdivision ordinance primarily is to ensure that there is safe access by emergency vehicles to any newly created lot. If it meets the definition of an exception, or an exception to the definition of subdivision, then they do not have to meet the road design criteria put forth in the subdivision ordinance to ensure safe access by emergency vehicles.
Thank you. And this largely is the information for us as board members, this portion of the agenda. So, all right, we will move into with the modified agenda. We'll now hear the Cedar Mountain Community Planning Effort presentation.
Troy, do you want me to come up there, or do you want me to...
Yes. Okay, Lord, what would you...
We should have come up here.
Come up here?
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you also.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm Karen Ramser. I'm chairman of our small area planning committee for Cedar Mountain. My husband Ted's family has had a summer home in Cedar Mountain since 1925. In 2009, we retired and renovated his grandparents' home and have lived here in Cedar Mountain full time since. With me tonight, members of our committee are Robert and Suzanne Lawson, Lucia Gerdes, and Jacqueline Rego. Robert is an awesome computer guy. He's also responsible for all of this that you're going to see up here, and I'm very thankful. Lucia Gerdes is a business owner of Cedar Mountain Cafe, Cedar Mountain Canteen, and my friend Jacqueline Rego is a part-time resident of Cedar Mountain for over 50 years. Other committee members include my husband, Ted Ramser, Clint and Beth Owens, seventh generation Cedar Mountain residents, Jeff and Wendy Colley, owners of Creekside Restaurant and Home Light General Contractors, Valerie Gerdes, owner of Whistle Stop Market in Cedar Mountain, and also Mike Carrick, who is a developer. Thank you for allowing us this time to speak with you about our Cedar Mountain community. In May, the Cedar Mountain Community Center was visited by Mark Burroughs and Joy Fields from the Large Planning and Community Development Office. They asked the attendees, what do we value most about our community, and how do we want Cedar Mountain to look in 10 to 20 years? They challenged us to develop a small area plan. To begin working on our plan, we first had to identify the parameters of Cedar Mountain. Where was it? So that took some head scratching. because we went from, you know, I mean, Cedar Mount's just a field. It's a community of people, and I've been around there for a long time now. It's an awesome place to live. But we identified the boundaries as going from approximately East Fork Road off 276 to the North Carolina-South Carolina state line, including Rich Mountain and Sequoia Woods. Our community straddles two townships, Little River and Duns Rock, and we are unique in so many ways. But in one of the ways, we are unique in that we're surrounded 75% by state parks. We have now the Headwaters State Park. We have DuPont State Park. And we have Caesars Head in the south. We're also unique in that we're home to a rare southern Appalachian bog and wetlands, which are well known to biologists and conservationists. Cedar Mount is an international tourist destination for mountain bikers, hikers, and naturalists. DuPont Forest alone has received over 750,000 visitors this year, and that number has increased every year since it's been open. I've noticed in the paper yesterday the occupancy tax has increased 12.5% over the past year. So tourism is alive and well in Brevard, but especially in Cedar Mount. We have a lot of people that come just to hike and ride bicycles and naturalists, and, you know, it's just a whole conglomeration of wonderful people. We formed this committee to explore what the community residents value the most about our community. And so we came up with a survey that we posted on the Cedar Mountain Community Center website. And we had it up there for access. And then we solicited for participation through the post office, through area churches and area businesses. We learned that Cedar Mountain residents want to preserve the rural quality of life and protect our forests, meadows, and the historical character of Cedar Mountain. We realize it's a delicate balance between protecting a person's property rights and also protecting our fragile environment. We feel that it's important to go forward with that aspect of respect for all people in our environment. We feel it's important to also protect the many endangered species of flora and fauna. Also, Little River is a tributary of the French Broad River, which is the third oldest river in the world. I think that's pretty cool. And so I've got Little River. It runs all the way through Cedar Mountain. And, you know, I want to protect it. It's important to balance the beauty of our area with the growth that is sure to come. It's going to come. So we're trying to think forward and think how we can protect what we know and love to be Cedar Mountain. We realize that Cedar Mountain will have growth, but that managed growth will benefit all of us and all of our property values. A lot of what would be considered the commercial district, for lack of a better term, in Cedar Mountain borders on a floodplain along the Little River. Our concern would be that someone would come along and add a foot or two of fill dirt and build a building there, a commercial building. Little River is a Class II protected trout stream, and that's very important. And so that's protected, you know, with it being a trout stream and regulations that protect it. But right now there are several parcels of land actively on the market in Cedar Mountain. Development of those parcels could potentially degrade the Little River stream as it flows into DuPont State Forest, which is the crown jewel of DuPont Forest and Cedar Mountain. To accomplish this balance that we're trying to attain, we've identified some tools for, we think these could help us in an effort to work with businesses that want to move to our enchanted part of the land, our forest. And we've discussed setbacks from the roads, buffers of indigenous shrubs, lowering light pollution, safety issues of ingress and egress, and other issues that we probably will have to take up with the Department of Transportation. People fly down 276. And even though we added a new sign that says unmarked cars are patrolling, they don't care. They fly through there. And, you know, we've got to come up with, hopefully Department of Transportation can help us. But right now, what I want to do is thank y'all for giving us your time and for listening to what we want to keep Cedar Mountain beautiful and rural and a very special place to all of us. I hope that you'll work with us to help keep Cedar Mountain beautiful. But we need your help desperately before we go to the planning commissioners. So, that's all I got to say. Thank you very much. Now I'm turning over to the computer whiz, Robert Lawson. And, of course, his wife, who is our Cedar Mountain Community President, Suzanne Lawson, is here. So, if we get into trouble, we can ask her.
Thank you.
And just like she said, this all started back in May. And it started at the Cedar Mountain Community Center, kind of the heart of the whole Cedar Mountain area. And from there, we started a committee. So I'm going to kind of go through, these are the people that have been involved, and I can't say enough about Joy and everyone that's helped out, including Mark early on. So I appreciate that. The process is pretty simple. We started in 2018. We actually formed a committee. I'm going to sit here so I can read this easier. We immediately thought that, you know, in a consensus in the community, it's just part of the culture of how we felt, but we didn't have statistics. So we wanted to go from a qualitative to a quantitative, get the facts. So this is about what we did to get the facts, and that was to put a survey together. I'm going to go through the process, and I'll explain that survey, what we did. And while the survey was put together, and we actually developed it, put it out on our website for digital distribution, we spent time educating ourselves with information that you had provided, and get to know more about, you know, what is the planning process, what we can do to help once we get these facts in, so we would be kind of ready for when the data comes in. So we've been doing that. We've obtained the initial survey results, and what we're doing now today here in October is we're starting to collaborate. We want to collaborate with, obviously, your organization. We want to collaborate with our community, everyone, to get feedback and get direction on how we can make this happen. The next thing we'll be doing after the collaboration is getting the initial plan put together. And we'll, again, as we do that, start a collaboration process again and make sure it's consistent and the best that we can provide for, you know, the organizations involved so they have the information that they need. And then we'll finally want to do review that plan and submit it for plan for adoption at some point in time. So this is simplified. There's a lot more to it, obviously, than this, but that's the process that we're taking. She described the geographic area. It's kind of interesting. It's one of those things you just have to visually look at a map. Now, you all have been to Cedar Mountain many times, but when you start trying to put a line around it, it's kind of interesting. And we are surrounded by interesting properties. And I was impressed at how well you knew about our area, the different aspects. But we talk about growth. It's kind of interesting. Growth doesn't come just residential, commercial, industrial. Growth comes through conservation and wildlife management. So this map has actually changed since I started. There used to be a big hole right here in the middle of DuPont called the Donut Hole. And that is back now part of the property. So there's changes in ownership. The amount of property that is privately available versus public is changing constantly. So again, there's this balance going on between being surrounded by these wildlife management areas, forests and parks, and then the actual private residents that are in here. There's also some large parcels. So the bottom line is, when I looked at the census data and looked at our track information, I was trying to figure out, when I do the survey, is it valid? Am I getting good representation? And we're coming up with probably, in the area that we've identified, a little less than 2,000 people are in this community. And you can see why. The parcels are pretty well, you know, again, I think, what was the ratio that you mentioned, the percentage? It's a huge percentage, which is public lands. But
75%.
Right.
Question.
Yes.
I'm looking at the survey map. It says you've got 146 surveys out of 2,000?
No, I need to explain that, and that's why I'm getting ready to do that. It's a very good question, because I'll tell you what we actually did, and then I'll get to the statistics. This survey that we put together, obviously we published it on our website. It's still available. We're still trying to grab information as much as we can, but we think we have a valid representation already, because there was very strong. There was, when you look at standard deviations and everything else, it was very obvious that there was a very small deviation. It was very consistent, which shocked me how strong it was. 27 rate importance questions was put into it. There was four free-form questions, so not only we get qualitative feedback, but we get some, you know, qualitative feedback. You know, what's the feeling around this? We captured some information along with the survey, which was redacted later, but just so we could identify who was sending the surveys in, do they actually live in that community? Are they valid responses? We scrubbed the data based on that, based on where we geographically identified it, and there was a few that actually had to come out of this. You know, we had people in Brevard answering the survey. They felt really bonded to see them out. So, again, I went out to do this, and now I'm getting to answer your question, sir. We had a total of 146 at the time I did this. We've got about another 10 or 15 right now. After I cleaned it, we found out we had 10 to exclude. I can show you that on this map, this is within our area. Right here, this little yellow mark, that's East Fork Road on 276. There were several homes right in here that had responded. You know, they're right on the border. We had to put a line somewhere. But here's what's interesting I would share with you. When I looked at the census data, they said that in that census tract, 960402, whatever it is, there was like 4,000-something people. But half of the population of those residents were full-time. Half were part-time. And probably, we're the eastern half of that tract. It's probably even more part-time than full-time. So I was a little bit concerned, you know, good time to take the survey. Everybody's in town in the summer, so we had a good representation. But you can see that 72% of the respondents, and that was 98 at that time, were full-time, and 28%, 38, were part-time. So we did get a representation of those part-time people. But when you look at a total of about 1,800 residents in the area that we're talking about, I was wanting to get over 10%. We did get over 10% when I finished up looking at this. Half of those that say are full-time, so we're around 900. I've got it easily right at 100-something now. So we've got around 10% feedback, which was a challenge.
Do you think that's the right amount?
Well, I watched it the whole time. So I was at 2%, 4%, 6% looking at it. And I'll just go through it.
10%.
Here's my charts. And I'm looking at these slopes on these charts and everything, and this order, it never changed. It was, and you know, I'm glad I had other data because I think it was the same person filling out the survey. And that's why I wanted to validate. It was very consistent, which I'm not used to. I'm used to some randomness. But you can see the types of questions, but I'm going to go to another slide so you can read it easier.
My question is, and I didn't bring it up, is 10% of the residents
full-time
a legitimate number to base conclusions on?
If
statistically, probably not.
If I saw a larger standard deviation, I would be concerned. But I got to tell you,
what all you can get.
I had a minute standard deviation on these, so it was like, wow.
When we did the survey for the comprehensive plan, we were excited to get 10%.
That's helpful to know.
Denny says that's not true, but not enough, but okay.
We are going to continue to bring survey responses in. So we're at whatever it is, 12 or so percent now. We'll continue to grow.
Okay.
And if I were to see also some crazy trend, I'd probably go out and find out what's going on. I didn't find, I actually went back and geolocated every response. And I thought, wow, is there any correlation to deviations to any one area? Is there one neighborhood that has a different philosophy? No, didn't find anything really strange. Let me go to the next slide, get you through all this real quick. So I would like for you to see some of the questions. So these were the quantitative questions. Again, it's interesting what they ranked it on a basically 1 to 5, 5 being the highest of importance, 1 being the lowest importance to them. 27 questions, you can see, here's how they scored. This is the grand total, full-time, part-time. I wanted to see if there was a huge variance there. I mean, I was trying to dissect this any way I could to see if there was kind of some kind of group that I need to be aware of, but no, it's pretty consistent. What's interesting is if you notice what words are at the top in these questions, we have protect against certain types of development, protect character of community, protect open space, whatever it is, quality of environment. These things are all at the top. Notice the words, it's common at the bottom. And they all tie in to typically development, development, development. You know, that first slide talks about conservation and development and the balance, but it was very skewed. Anything that we mentioned, a question about development, was ranked very low. But the specifics are in the slides that you've got, and you can go through that detail at your convenience. But if you have some questions, feel free. My contact information is available. You can call me. This is very interesting. These were the 4 questions, which were qualitative responses, not quantitative, and it kind of gives you a feel of how people feel. And I could read this to you, but you've got the slides in front of you. I would encourage you, if you get some time later, to look at it. I grabbed this just randomly. I didn't select my top hits or whatever. I just grabbed, I think I grabbed, that is actually the first responses, 10 or 12 responses. Again, even the qualitative responses, I found one person that was really off from everybody else. And I thought, wow, that's really strange. I thought there'd be a lot more, you know, but there wasn't. That really kind of, I explained basically the survey. Again, it's still open. We're still getting data. We are now going to be moving to continue to put the plan together. And we just want to let you know where we're at. We're trying to get the committee to get the template or skeleton together for a small area plan. And we're going to be seeking, you know, advice from any and all that can help us. And we'll continue to get information to help feed us and guide us on how the plan should be organized. But that's where we're at right now. And we thought it would be nice that not only we just come and share what we're doing, but someone in that community, a resident, who happens to have businesses in the community and have moved into the community, speak. And I'm going to turn it over to Alicia. She's been just a couple minutes to help out.
I just have one question. So Is this the exact verbiage that was on the survey?
Yes. If you go online, you'll see it matches for both.
Okay, so it says 1 to 5. How important is this on scale 1 to 5? And this is exactly what the church
yes.
surveyed.
Yes. And then what you're looking at is the average scores out.
As you can see from Robert's data, the community is fairly concerned about protecting our natural resources and the property values. As the area grows, as the area grows and becomes more attractive to people, with the popularity of DuPont and Caesar's Head, it's important for the county, for us, and the county has a plan for future growth and guidelines for developers and new developments like a lot of communities have. As a business owner up there, ensuring the natural beauty continues to bring visitors is vital to my business. As a resident, I would like to know that future development is required to build in responsible ways that mitigate rainwater runoff. You know, we're all in a flood zone up there. Any deviation of that could mean an extra foot of water into my business during heavy rains where it already, you know, comes up to the building even though we raised it 3 feet. That lighting on the buildings is appropriate, especially if somebody ends up on, you know, one of their more rural roads, residential, that building and signage blends in with the building and reflects the environment. You know, all of us live on streams and creeks that run into the Little River, and we're all kind of at the headwaters, so making sure that some sort of development doesn't impede that in the Little River and everything that comes down from that. Well, the county has been traditionally against zoning of any sort. Well, we hope you'll work with us to plan a plan that will protect our property values and the natural resources. And I think that's about it. Thank you.
Do you have anyone else to speak? Was that it?
Okay, all right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Board members, do you have any questions?
Please.
That's right.
Yeah, I just want to applaud you guys. This is great. Thank you so much for you taking the effort to put this together so we can look at it. Incredibly helpful. Thank you very much.
We need your help.
Well, this helps us give you help.
Yeah, 10% is a good statistic. I mean, when you look at statistics, it's a nice representative sample, but if it's a true set of data, it shouldn't matter whether you have 80% or 10%. The actual numbers shouldn't be there a whole lot.
Sure.
One of the things that will protect a lot of development, it was mentioned that, you know, we have a lot of floodplain land out there. The county floodplain ordinance prohibits fill in the floodplain. Mm-hmm. And they won't be able to...
It does not prohibit it in the 100-year floodplain.
In the floodway,
but not the 100-year floodplain.
What did they ever do about when they were discussing the concept of storage compensation?
It's not in the floodplain ordinance.
It really wasn't. It wasn't feasible or possible to do that. But I really don't think that we'll see a lot of fill going in the floodplain. If somebody's familiar with how Little River floods out there, they'll know better.
Any other comments, questions?
Yes. For benefit of others, my name is Kenzie Jackson. I'm a native of Transylvania County. I lived in Florida a long time. I read some things in the general comments that I would caution you to be careful about. Sanibel Island is a barrier island off the Fort Myers Fork. Beautiful place. All you have here, that I've owned for 30 some odd years. About 25 years ago, I believe it was a fellow wanted to build a McDonald's. I can't remember what it was. And they took the step of prohibiting national chains on that island. There are no McDonald's, there are no Publixes, there are no Winn-Dixies. None of that. And the result has been that if you want to buy anything, there are a couple of grocery stores and there are a lot of restaurants. But beyond that, you have to go off the island to the Fort Myers area to purchase things. All the contractors and that sort of thing, all building materials purchased off island. It has caused quite an increase in the building thing. I don't object to saying no commercial development in Cedar Mountain, but you need to think about that as the area grows, there's going to be pressure to have commercial buildings and commercial establishments. You can control what they look like. You can control, to some extent, what they are. I noticed one of the things, the very top thing, was don't allow any adult businesses in the area. You can control that and use whatnot. But I think in your long-range thinking, you have to think about that it's a tourist area. You're going to have people coming from that state down south, and there's already lots of them out there. And they're going to buy things and not drive, what is it, 15 miles down the mountain with the curves and all that to get groceries and that sort of thing. So
I'm not sure the intent.
I don't object to what I'm saying, but you need to be careful.
I don't think the intent of the plan is to limit or prohibit commercial development. I think just part of the survey was, I don't think there's any plan to prohibit. The goal of it isn't to prohibit businesses or commercial development of any sort. It's to make sure that lighting and signage is appropriate, that rainwater mitigation, whether they're in the flood zone or not, you know, that certain
commercial signage, all those kind of things.
Not so much.
Think about the future is what I'm saying.
Yeah, more businesses.
Something beyond 5 years, you need to be looking like, what's it going to be in 20 years? And as you all know, this area is oriented toward hikers, bikers, retirees, and tourists.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to change. My comment. I think it's a great plan, and I can commend you for what you've done. I wish more small areas would get involved and do this. I think they would be happier, and so would we, because we would be fighting the battle one time.
To move forward with this plan, they need your help.
Yes.
Because it is developing setbacks, signage regulation, all of that is land regulations that require planning board involvement. So for them to take a step forward, they need planning board to do some action of saying, yes, we will support them as this plan is developed, or we want to see it at the end. But before it goes to county commissioners, you all have to consider what you said, long-range plans, property rights, and legality of anything that is proposed.
When we were working on the comprehensive plan, as it always has been, zoning was a contentious issue. And I'm one of these that feels that, take Cedar Mountain. Cedar Mountain shouldn't be told what the community is going to look like from commissioners that may or may not live there. Right. It should be decided by the people that live in the community. Same thing applies to Balsam Grove, same thing applies to Little River, add the community here. The residents just should decide that. So I appreciate your efforts. This is the first one that we've been presented with, the first community that's taken that on. And I appreciate your efforts in doing so. As planning board member, I'm here to help you however you need to be helped. And we would, honestly, we'll be happy. From my standpoint, we're happy to help you all and, you know, have staff assist you as you need help. But we would like for that plan to be crafted by you all with whatever guidance is needed from us. So, again, I think and everyone would be in agreement with the fact that we're here to support you and lend a hand and help and advice, assistance, however you need it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we need an official?
For me to be involved with supporting them as they move forward, I would feel more comfortable if it was official. Yes.
I will make a motion that we, as a planning board, support the small area plan of Cedar Mountain and allow planning staff to assist them as necessary.
Second.
All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. All right, motion carries. All right, thank you very much. We appreciate your time and effort. Look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is old business. Item A, telecommunication tower application.
In your planning board agenda packets, you all received information that was prepared by a consultant who is proposing to build the Seashore Tower up on top of Rich Mountain. As you go forward with considering this application and reviewing this application, there are a couple of recent plans that you need to keep in mind. One is the 2025 Comprehensive Plan, which is supposed to be a framework to help guide policies and decisions. And objective two is to initiate efforts to maintain and enhance infrastructure in order to improve our unique quality of place, and to advocate for actively identifying locations, funding necessary partnerships to increase broadband coverage, speed, and reliability throughout the county. The other is the County Commissioner's Strategic Plan, with the number one goal being that the local economy has a more diversified tax base and increase in living wage jobs and has more stability. The community has capitalized on the unique quality of life and the environment unique to the area. Strategy 1B is to plan, advocate, and provide for infrastructure to support economic development and to make the community a desirable place to live and work. At the September meeting, Mark Tooley was here, and he shared that this is a view from his property where you can see the Fox Tower that is the largest tower up there between 1,800 feet and 2,200 feet. So that's over 1,000 feet tall. You can also see the existing towers that are up on this mountain ridge. As you saw in your packet, the proposed telecommunication tower is being proposed to replace one of those towers that is up on that ridge with, that is only about 80 feet tall, with a 150-foot monopole telecommunication tower.
So the number of towers won't increase. I missed that.
If you look at the survey that was included in the packet, it shows a guy-wired tower that would be removed.
Is that the Charles Taylor Tower?
Is that the Taylor Tower?
That's my understanding, yes. This is aerial imagery from 2017, showing Fox Tower Road with the tower and showing Fire Tower Road with some of the other towers. And it's hard to see in this image, but there are quite a few towers up there. That is the corner where the proposed tower would go. These are the photo simulations that the applicant provided in their application for you to consider. These are the existing towers, and this would be the new 150-foot monopole that they are proposing.
Which one of those towers will be removed? The one next to it?
No, that's the Duke Energy tower. I think it's this one. The applicant is proposing to be 100 feet off of a protected mountain ridge line, but the elevation of the proposed location is not 100 feet below the elevation of the protected mountain ridge.
Does that mean that it doesn't meet the mountain ridge protection ordinance?
It does not mean that. When the planning board recently reviewed the mountain ridge protection ordinance, the model ordinance exempted cell towers. Because the telecommunication tower ordinance prohibits cell towers or telecommunication towers on protected mountain ridges, you did not exempt or prohibit telecommunication towers in the mountain ridge protection ordinance. However, the telecommunication tower ordinance does prohibit telecommunication towers from being located on protected mountain ridges.
And this is a protected mountain ridge.
It is.
Now, Joy, the base of the tower can be below, but the top of the tower can project above the ridge, correct?
That's true. If the base of the tower was greater than 100 feet below the elevation of the protected mountain ridge, but the top of the tower extended up past the ridge, so if it was 150-foot tower, located 100 foot below the elevation of the protected mountain ridge, 50 feet of that tower would be above. Now, our ordinance does limit telecommunication towers to 180 feet in height. Once they become 200 feet in height, FCC requires them to meet their regulations and be lighted. I think that is
200 feet.
Yeah, that's 200 feet. It puts in FCC and lighting requirements. The telecommunication tower ordinance of Transylvania County has a preferred list of locations for wireless telecommunication facilities. And number one is existing telecommunication towers, water towers, and other structures. If you can co-locate, that's the term, on an existing structure, that is preferred. Property access by a state-maintained road, property access by private road, are other priorities. Section 12 of the Telecommunication Tower Ordinance prohibits them on protected mountain ridges due to the mountain views and aesthetics that are integral to Transylvania County's economy. It defines a ridge as the elongated crest or series of crests at the apex of the uppermost point of intersection between two opposite slopes. and all of the land within 100 feet below the elevation of any portion of such a line or surface along the crest. That's where you get the 100-foot elevation requirement to be below a protected mountain ridge.
So before you move,
yes.
I want to make sure I heard you correctly. This portion of the telecommunication ordinance prohibits towers on protected mountain ridges. And this is a protected mountain ridge.
Yes.
And it's proposed to be 100 feet off the ridge.
Off the ridge, but not below the ridge.
Is the base 100 feet below the ridge?
No. It is about 40 feet, maybe only 20 feet, depending on which data source you look at and how many. It's not 100 feet in elevation below the protected mountain ridge.
So, in other words, it was 100 feet off of the crest. It is not necessarily equal to 100 vertical feet.
Right.
Gotcha.
Joy, my guess would be that all the other towers up there were probably built before we really had an ordinance. I don't know that, but do you know that? Or
they were all built prior to the most recent amendment of the Protected Mountain Ridge Ordinance that used the North Carolina Geodetic Survey data for identifying protected mountain ridges. Yes.
The tall tower has been there forever.
Yes. None of those existing towers are telecommunication towers.
Well, the state police tower is. It's a radio tower.
But it's state police. It's not for one of the cell companies. Verizon or US Cellular.
Okay.
It's for the state police.
But it's the government use tower.
Right.
So they're exempt.
It's a communication tower. Okay.
They are not exempt if they're over 50 feet.
Okay.
So the telecommunication tower ordinance does not exempt EMS, Duke Power, state troopers. They're not exempt if they're over 50 feet in elevation. And based on the data provided by in this application, they are over 50 feet in elevation. So they are not exempt from this prohibition of protected mountain ridges.
You're talking about the state.
Yeah. If they
are there any arrays on the Fox Tower that's not Fox?
Yes. I thought the county had a communication equipment on that tower.
That I don't know the
county.
I'm talking about
cellular.
There's no
cellular. Not cellular, no. I believe there's Skyrunner broadband on there. And the county has communication equipment on the Fox Tower. But I think you're right. There's not cellular.
There's no cellular.
Yeah.
Daryl, I think the U.S. has microwave towers up there that transmit all the way over Frying Pan Mountain.
Okay.
And back over in there.
Okay, Justin.
In the ordinance, section 18.12, states that no two telecommunication towers shall be constructed within 2,640 feet of each other. Line of sight. So not road distance, but line of sight. Unless documentation is provided showing that co-location on towers within that distance is not technically feasible.
What was the reason behind having them half a mile apart minimum?
To reduce the number of them. If they're not required to co-locate, then there's just more towers, potentially. But you saw that the number one preferred location is on other existing towers.
I want to get a correct understanding too. The other towers up there would be considered telecommunication towers?
Yes.
So there's currently four?
Yes.
That are within 22,640 feet of
each? Yes. At least.
Are they, when we say telecommunication, you take the Fox Tower.
Any tower or structure erected for the purpose of supporting one or more antennas designed to transmit or receive signals. Radio, television, microwave, telephone.
They all apply.
They all apply.
Well, I take care of state police. And for radio.
So, if they were proposed today, they would also require a variance to be located where they're located, because they are all on a protected mountain ridge within a distance that is closer than this.
Sure.
And they are not exempt because they're all over 50 feet in height.
But they're grandfathered in right now.
Right.
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 Do you mind hopping back one on the let's see what section that was. Section 12. Okay. All right, go ahead.
So today we have a telecommunication tower application for planning board to consider that is not in compliance with two of the sections, the distance to other towers and the location on a protected mountain ridge.
What was the first one?
The distance to other towers.
2600, yep, obviously. Okay, go ahead. I got them both now.
Most of the telecommunication tower applications, well, that planning board has considered in the last 2 years have not had a completed NEPA document because of the time it takes to complete one. That is true about this as well. In other applications for telecommunication towers, planning board sees what is lacking in the application and provides the applicant with some understanding that their application will be approved contingent upon the Planning and Community Development Department receiving the missing pieces of information. And remember, this telecommunication tower ordinance is one that if all of the information is provided, it is a permissive ordinance. You guys are ensuring that it meets the intent of the ordinance and the sections of the ordinance, the regulations within the ordinance. This is an unusual case because of the fact that it does not meet two of the requirements of the ordinance.
But it would require variance from the Board of Commissioners.
Correct.
And the Planning Board is to make a recommendation to the Board.
Yes.
Now, there are engineering ramifications as to why it doesn't meet those, right?
Engineering ramifications?
Or, in other words, there's a reason that that two of those are not being met.
So, in your application, the applicant provided reasons for why they were not co-locating on the existing structures that are up there. And you are correct that based on the structural integrity of several of the towers up there, they were not able to co-locate.
Something about the design of the other towers was not suitable for the weight and wind loading and stuff like that, I believe.
Correct. The design of the tower that you have in your packet is designed for the wind speed identified for Transylvania County, which is 90 miles an hour over the entire county. And it is designed to support 4 antenna arrays. However, it is being proposed to house 1 antenna array for U.S. Cellular. So the monopole design that they have applied to build would support an additional 3 antenna array. Correct? But you have 1.
We have 1, and then there'll be 3 other.
3 others, yes. So 3 additional in addition to the 1 that is the primary.
With the whole idea of preventing future towers being needed or built.
Again, it is required by the ordinance that they allow at least 1 other antenna array, but they are built with the sufficient structural integrity to support an additional antenna array to reduce the total number. Yes. Are there any of the pieces of the application that you would like me to put up on the large screen to discuss?
John, what would be?
We'll get that opinion.
Okay.
Propagation map.
One says LTE coverage. I don't know what LTE is.
That's the 4G that you hear on.
That's what?
4G, what you hear on commercials.
Okay.
That's internet
coverage you have now.
Well, there's a before and then there's an after shot.
Right.
After propagation.
This is before.
Right.
You want to explain the colors to us?
Yes.
Well, that's such an RF thinking. I have to go back and forth with them, really. I'm not the RF engineer, but...
So this is the before.
That's the before. And the, it's kind of self-explanatory, the after.
And that's the after.
Yeah, so do the before again so I can get the difference. Yeah. Okay, so this is important. This is no coverage at all. Light coverage here, no bad coverage here. And then
the green is full coverage?
The green, light green is poor coverage.
Light green.
And blue. Yeah, I believe that's how we get it. Which is quite like that.
What's the red?
I'm colorblind.
Oh, jeez.
No. I really am. I really am.
Whatever.
That's funny. I am colorblind. Basically, what we're doing is, I'm trying to find where there's some kind of bummer. This is CSR right here. We're over here. Right, yeah. So
this is Greenville Highway. If you take a step back, yeah, I'll point out Greenville Highway. Greenville Highway, Cascade Lake Road, Greenville Highway down to the state line, Cascade Lake Road here. So
the green is surely adequate coverage.
Right.
Because it's right underneath us.
It's right underneath the towers.
Yeah.
Immediate vicinity is good coverage, and then you start getting spotty coverage around the.
Thank you.
Yes.
That is how I interpret
it. That's how I interpret
it
too. The colors I don't.
I am not colorblind.
I really am. It's a goddamn truth.
If I had known that, I would not have asked you to explain it. I apologize.
The way I interpreted that, what you just kind of outlined with your finger was the increased coverage.
Yes, that's right.
Result from
yes,
the
that's right.
This is the increased coverage that would result.
Is that the 9-mile radius coverage?
Yes, for just about 9 miles. And I asked him, I was talking to the RF engineer who first designed this with another one now, but the originator of this search area, and I did, because a comment came up, have you looked at other parts of that mountaintop to get, and I asked him, did you look at other ones? He said, yes, the reason we need to be where we are is so we can get the full over the mountain. And that is obviously what we want to do. We want to cover as much area as possible. So that's why we understand we need to go to county commissions to really shoot for getting that variance. That's kind of what.
Sorry, can you talk? Fox Tower is a lot taller than 150 feet, so to go on Fox would be, I would think you'd cover even more area from Fox Tower.
No, Fox Tower, we approached Fox Tower, and I'm going to be very serious. We wanted Fox Tower. It was cheaper, faster. We did a survey. The gentleman came back with $6,000 a month rent, which is, I don't want to get into all the specifics, but it's way outside of norm. And then they negotiated down a little more, and we just can't, I mean, that's buying watermelons for 50 cents and selling them for 50 cents. I mean, you can't, you were a business and you need to make money. So. And we did, I want to reiterate, we went as far as to get the survey done. I was excited about it. Let's get this thing up and down here. And they wouldn't work with us at all. So. Pardon?
I mean, that's saying that they can't use that.
It is. No, and I mentioned to them that, you know, the ordinance and what it states and, you know, without being too obnoxious to them, that I said, I'm going to talk to the county's going to know that you're not COLA friendly, which they should be. Absolutely.
It'd make it a lot easier. I was going to ask the question of why there's no cellular on Fox Tower, you answered it for me.
Yeah, listen, and you know what I told them when we got kind of at the end of the discussion? Mm-hmm. Was I said, there won't be a carrier that will pay that. Mm-hmm. There won't. They just won't do it.
Which is obvious by their absences.
Yeah. So I get a little worked up over that because it didn't make me look.
It would be better for our community if they would.
Yeah.
And it'd be easier for you all. It'd be better for us. It's already a tower there. We wouldn't be sitting here.
1,532 feet. That's how tall it is. We wanted to be at 120. That's it.
Yeah.
You could actually go higher on that tower.
We could, but really 120 works the best, although we're actually proposing the 150 because the county, there's going to be a need. So let's just get it done one time, you know, pull the band-aid off, get it built. And again, because there's already structures up there, it almost looks like it should be there and not. You know, in another spot down below, or you look in here, there's one up here, there's some. So.
I can tell you really don't want to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Percentage wise, how much greater is what they ask you to pay than what you would normally expect to pay on a tower like that?
75% more.
How much?
75% more. 75%. No, it's off the charts. Again, then you need to look at the population. If he was quoting prices, apparently, from Vegas, and I think it was Phoenix, where they have two other towns. And I said, well, we're talking about Brevard, North Carolina. Love the place, mind you, but there's not a large population to dictate that type of an expenditure. But we do, there's a definite need, as we all know, for coverage on that mountain. And I brought up the last time I was here, if someone were in an accident on 276, God knows it. Because there's no coverage. Yeah.
But how far south does it go, though?
And, you know,
does it go to
Cedar
Mountain, right?
Oh, it does. If we look at this mountain, this is the intersection of Cascade Lake Road and Greenville Highway. You can kind of see the words underneath the colors. So the fire station is right here.
Okay.
And so the blue or purple,
is that kind of in the middle of Cedar Mountain?
Yeah.
Yes. See, the fire station is part of the...
It's part of the... Okay.
If...
they need it. I guess they need it, right? The fire station needs it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we discussed last time after the meeting that... I forgot your name, but... You're talking about when your people hurt themselves in the forest, hiking, biking, falling, and there's no way to get to them. I mean, there's no phone service. That, to me, that would be, that's just something that needs to be.
About 2 weekends ago, the same thing happened when the girl fell on Grassy Creek Falls. Mm-hmm. And it took roughly 30 minutes before a runner got to one of the rangers out there, and help was even initiated.
Right.
At least 30 minutes.
That's okay. In this day and age, I don't think
this is this area here is East Fork Road, and this is about the area of the New Headwater State Forest, and it would still have very limited cell coverage.
But improved. Well, you know, the lighter the color, you could get out.
Because this is what it is.
Outside coverage, you just maybe couldn't get in building coverage.
Yeah.
I don't know if I remember that, but you know, that lighter color still means you can get outside coverage, but not in building.
Mm-hmm. So help me understand that in theory, no matter how high that antenna would go, there's still going to be ravines and coves. They're not going to get a signal, even if it was...
No, that's an accurate depiction of the coverage. Yeah.
As long as your phone can see the tower, it will transmit.
So, do you mind explaining again why you said 120 would have been adequate, but you decided to go for 150?
For the county, for the purpose of the county, there's going to be, we're USCellular. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a Verizon customer because I got with them 10 years ago, and I'm from Illinois. That's all I'll say about that. And I don't have coverage elsewhere. And then, so Verizon's going to need to be up there. Mm-hmm. AT&T will follow. Those are the three big...
You need that extra height for those
other
co-locators. Phones.
Yes, yeah. Which is good for the county, actually.
Sir, I know you want to speak.
I just have a question.
Yes.
What is the time frame for getting the tower built?
If we want to get it built this year, we can, but it, yeah, it's faster.
This year, meaning 2018?
2018.
They already have the lease negotiated and all that.
We do, the lease is fully executed.
And the NEPA survey, is it NEPA? Survey, we can expect that to be done in November.
You for
the NEPA, November 11th.
Do you have anything?
I do, from Mark Tooley, who would like to share public comments.
Okay. Thank you.
But from I'm here to answer your questions if you have them of the application materials that you guys reviewed.
Okay.
If you want me to go over them, I'm happy to. But if you want to just ask me questions, I'm happy to do that.
Preference of the board. Could she just quickly summarize the exact two exemptions one more time, so that I'm clear on it?
The tower is located closer to other existing, or the proposed tower would be located closer than the ordinance allows for a tower to be located in proximity to other towers.
Okay, so it's within a half a mile.
It's within a half a mile of other towers.
Okay.
And it is, while it's 100 feet off of the ridge line, it's not 100 feet below the mountain ridge.
And those are the only two exceptions?
Yes.
Okay.
There are conditions that would have to be met by the applicant. To have a full application, that would be the NEPA document.
What document?
The NEPA, the Environmental Protection
document showing that it's not going to impact historic resources or endangered species. We also need a foundation plan of the tower to make sure that it can hold four antenna arrays.
And if I may, we can't disturb any dirt until the NEPA and CHIPO is complete. So.
Well, you have to have that anyway to build a plan.
Well, yeah, but we can't get put the cart before the horse.
Who in the county will study the engineering design to determine that it meets or exceeds the standards for holding up four arrays?
The engineering designs are certified by an approved or an engineer that has license to practice in North Carolina.
Professional engineer, right.
Yep. And the building department will also get the set of plans and review them for North Carolina building code to make sure that they meet the building code.
But when it's all said and done, it'll come down on the consultant engineer's signature.
Yes.
Okay.
So they need just two things to have a complete application?
They have provided almost. They need three things. Prior companies have always provided a letter from the FCC and FAA regarding the exemption of the tower from the regulations that the FCC and FAA regulate. This company provided a letter from a consulting firm that this tower is exempt from those regulations because of size. But our ordinance requires that it come from the regulatory agencies. So in addition to the NEPA document, the foundation plan, we would also require a letter from FCC FAA.
Can I say, if you don't mind, our regulatory compliance department, who the FAA, there's an email that I had to share with Joy, they don't do that anymore. The FAA, maybe they're just too busy, and they just do not provide that information.
We received one in 2017.
From?
From FCC and FAA.
Not the FAA?
Not FAA, but the FCC.
We get an FAA. We do get the FCC.
Yeah.
I think that's where the confusion is. We have the FCC license, which is what they're actually saying, you own this license for your signal to go out. We can have that. I guess I can get that. I'm misunderstanding that whole thing. But I get it.
So there are a few requirements that they have to meet a full application.
So what could we as a board tonight do then?
You could make a recommendation to the county commissioners assuming, contingent upon them providing a full application.
Completing the application.
Completing the application, yes.
Are there any other deficiencies in the application other than what you just talked about?
They addressed the removal bond. They addressed the certificate of insurance. They addressed our ordinance requires an 8-foot fence. They originally proposed a 6-foot fence, which was in the description that you have in front of you. They have modified their plans to provide an 8-foot fence. They have the lease in their packet. They have the survey. They have the site plan. They have the elevation. They have all of the other required documents, and they are not planning to light the tower.
Because that's not required?
It is prohibited in the ordinance to light the tower, but there are towers in the county that MoMA has requested lights on because of the flight patterns.
Okay.
So if this tower is approved and MoMA requires that it be lighted so that their emergency flights are aware of the tower, then there may have to be some change to the application.
when I look at that mountain, I only see lights on the...
Correct.
I don't see the other towers lighted. Yeah. Of course, they're not quite this tall. But.
Now, on that FAA chart I gave you, it shows which ones are lighted and which ones are not.
It also shows those that are over 200 feet.
Yeah. And it gives the, not only, it also gives the base elevation mm-hmm. of the terrain and the top elevation of the tower.
Mm-hmm. Because the ordinance caps the size at 185 feet, a lot of the cell towers that are in Transylvania County are not on that map.
I'm a little surprised they don't have to be lighted.
Thank you. I had a question. On the application for this permit, it mentions the attempt to co-locate onto these other towers. And it mentioned the Nexstar tower at its is at its capacity and will need upgrades to the structure. It sounds like we don't want any more towers, if possible. I mean, there seems to be a sense of that amongst the group. And so, it's like put it on existing towers. That's what the ordinance says. They're asking to put this tower on a protected mountain ridge closer than 2,640 feet from another tower. And we've been told that the Fox Tower is 75%, they were asking for 75% more than the normal going rate to rent that tower. I'm simple in a way. So I wonder, there's a margin. Everybody's trying to make money and everybody deserves to make money. What's the margin, I wonder, of putting it at the Fox Tower rate? Build our own. And we make, how much do we make on it if we build our own? How much do we make per month if we rent from the Fox Tower? The cost of building this tower is a
lot. I was going to get to that. I was waiting for everything to settle down. But I need to understand this financial hardship thing a little bit better. So I don't know. So negotiated lease rate of $4K, is that $4K?
A month. At a 4% escalator per annum.
Okay. And the industry standard, what is that nationwide?
For our loading, it's around 1,800.
Is that a nationwide average?
Yep. Mm-hmm. 18 to 22, depending on loading, basically.
Yeah. And so, what does it cost to build a tower? What does it cost for you to build the tower, and then? Can you then turn around and rent the three other carriers?
That's what I'm interested in. I'm not answering the question.
What does it cost to build this tower about? And then
total cost for a tower is right around $250,000.
Okay, and then you're able to then, this says it will handle three additional carriers, so then you're going to turn around and lease that to three other carriers?
If they approach us, yes.
Assuming.
Well, the ordinance dictates they need to come on us.
Okay. It's kind of the old argument of, do you spend capital money or do you spend operating money?
Yeah.
The operating money goes on forever. Capital money is spent, and in this case, they're going to get some return because they're going to rent to three other companies.
Yeah, so
which is also doing the no-brainer. It's a no-brainer which one you do in this case.
Well, it is for if you're the businessman. It's not necessarily for us. Not necessarily for us. So my question is this: so we have a TV tower. They want too much money, basically. Do we have any leverage against them to ask them to come down to say you're charging too much? We're trying to not build another tower. Do we have any kind of leverage to go to WHNS and say we need to work something out here so they can use that tower? We don't have to build another. They don't have to spend $250,000. Everybody wins. Do we have any kind of a pull or influence or leverage or legal recourse or anything like that to go to the TV station and say, look, let's work something out.
If I may?
Yes.
That's kind of, that would be a good thing. But there's also, then there's the lease portion of it. But they may have the leasing portion of it, but they may have language in there that we can't live with. That we won't sign a bad lease. So there's much, it's much more than monetary. And I would assume that they would have kind of a stringent, to put us in a box type of a lease, and ESI they won't sign that. They just won't. And I haven't seen their lease, mind you, but knowing what I know about TV stations, they're going to cover, you know, it's going to be a bad lease. Let's just put it that way.
Well, how do you know that?
See, I've been doing this 21 years, so I've ran a car for bad leases, and typically...
Well, yeah, but...
So I don't want to get what I'm trying to, I guess, to get at.
Well, I mean, a bad lease is a bad lease, and an expensive lease is an expensive lease. I don't, you know, I'm not... My concern is, do we have options to go to them and say, can we work something out here? Then it would have to be acceptable to all the parties, obviously.
Right.
But to me, if we have some avenue by which we can go to them and say, you've got a tower there, you're asking too damn much money, can you come up with something that you're amenable with, that we wouldn't have to build another tower? You can come down on your lease.
But
we don't, everybody wins.
We're not building them, we're replacing the tower that's already there. Let's be fair. And we're also, another carrier is going to go through the same motions with them, with that other tower. So we're just constantly having to go back. Go ahead.
I would propose that planning board talk amongst themselves and discuss this. And if they have a specific question to you, that they ask you to chime in.
Okay.
I have a specific question.
Okay.
Other than the calls, were there other requirements that that tower would meet for your purposes? And I think I heard you say earlier that you really wanted to be on that tower.
We went as far as the survey. We have a survey already done.
We have what?
We have a survey completed, and we were that willing to go do it, and then when they came back with that rent, that went up a few tiers, and they kicked it back and said, no, there's two levels of
people. Well, did they indicate any willingness to negotiate at all?
No. At the very end, no.
They gave you the price and said, that's it, take it or leave.
Yes. Absolutely, that's what they said. That's not even a maybe. That
well, and then my question is, can we increase their willingness by any?
Yeah, that's
why
I put that question.
To my knowledge, I'm not aware of any. It doesn't mean there's not one.
Yeah.
But in my time of experience in local government, I'm not aware of any leverage we've had. However, in our recommendation to the county commissioners, we could recommend that as a, you know, I think we need to make a very clear recommendation on the variance, whether we suggest approval or denial of the variance, and then attach to that this option: investigate any leverage we may have to prevent the building of a new tower and allowing them to co-locate the existing Fox Tower, to allow the county to investigate that, to see if we have any options, any leverage. And you know, I will add, we've got to be careful from a county standpoint how they handle that, because we do have communication equipment on that tower.
Right.
And they could decide, you know, we don't want y'all out there anymore.
I think it raises a larger question of,
yes,
is that even the role of the county?
Yeah.
Do we, or not is it, but do we have, I mean, is that sort of how,
yeah,
stripping what we're supposed to be doing?
Well, I'm just looking, I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah, I mean,
I appreciate that.
The options. Yeah. I mean, that is, as we talk, that's something to be worked out there. It'd benefit everybody.
And if nothing else, whether we have any legal mechanism or not, I would recommend we at least approach them on behalf of the county and say, you know,
we've got a good argument.
You should, and on top of that, appeal to, you know, hey, if you really want to be a good socially responsible corporation,
corporate neighbor,
you would consider working with us on this for the sake of the Mountain Ridge and everything else, you know, which, you know, since it's Fox News, they probably don't care. But I'm just saying, if nothing else. Because, you know, we had the thing with Dollar General that they talked about several months ago, where they went to them and said, hey, we don't want a big yellow. And they worked with them, and they changed the color of the store, and they made the signs smaller. They didn't have to do that. They did it because they wanted to be a part of the community.
That was not the county commissioners.
No, I understand that. No, that community did that. Yeah. But my point is, the store did that voluntarily on their own after they were approached with. So I just feel like we ought to ask the question.
My opinion is, for what it's worth, that the commissioners would be within their rights to do that.
Yeah.
Well, the worst they could say
is, exactly.
You know, that's the worst they could say. You all would actually prefer to be on the 21 Tower, wouldn't you?
We would. I'd like to see the lease. I don't want to be, you know, I probably came up with your own number, but
for the workable lease.
Yeah.
You'd prefer to be with a workable lease. And I think from the county standpoint, the county could argue the need for the infrastructure, the need for safety, that additional cell coverage in this area would provide. I mean, you've got quite a bit of additional cell coverage in one of, if not the most visited state park in the state, right?
The most visited park
in the state. It would increase safety there, providing much improved cell coverage. For that matter, maybe we get state involved.
it's almost actually a no-brainer.
Yeah.
If WHNS, now we got to be careful about government and private industry, right. But there are ways to ask in an encouraging fashion, you know, would you not like to really help the community and so forth and so on? And again, they can say no, and we haven't lost anything. We're back to where we are, right? If they say no.
So they're going to come back and want something else down the road, too. Remember that.
That's another thing to think. I hope they would think about
down
the road, they might be.
Yes.
Down the road, we may need something.
Would cell coverage be even better on that tower for you?
That was our first choice, was that tower. Do we have a time frame on a response? Because we're kind of...
We need to discuss...
We need to point contact.
We need to discuss our position on the variance recommendation to the commission. We can add this. Sounds like something all the board members are in favor of having the county explore this opportunity potentially with the Fox Tower, but we need to tack that on to a recommendation to approve or deny the variance request. So we need to have a discussion regarding that and how we're going to send that to the commission.
So that might be a recommendation that could come out tonight from this meeting with those criteria attached to it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think we owe it to everyone concerned to, you know, do the best that we can on that and see what happens.
It's almost obscene to have that taller tower already there and have to go around.
And then every other carrier that wants to put a tower up there, they're going to have to go through the same thing with Fox, right?
I would assume so.
Well,
maybe they will have learned their lesson. if we could do this on a quick, you know, give a Fox, we're already ready to go. We have a survey ready. And so,
What is the board's position on the variance?
I'm not
the recommendation to the commission.
I'm
I'm not opposed to having this tower, but I think we need to explore the other alternative that we're talking about.
Okay. So, from your position,
we've all got cell phones.
Yeah.
We want the coverage. You got to have the towers. It's just 1, 2, 3.
From your position, you would recommend approving the variance.
Subject to the
completed application.
Right.
And also ask them to explore this opportunity. Encourage the opportunity of the Fox Tower. That would be preferable to approving the variance for the new tower.
Right.
But as it pertains to this variance for the new tower.
Right.
And as it pertains to that strictly, you're in favor of approving the variance.
Yeah, I would be.
Okay.
I would be the same with that stipulation that we only go back to the existing application as it is now with the criteria completed, only if Fox turns it down.
Yeah, that's what's stated. And they complete the application.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would like planning board to consider one thing.
Okay.
Protected mountain ridges around the county. How does this protected mountain ridge differ from other protected mountain ridges? And if it does, is that a reason you would be willing to approve this variance?
I'm worried this would set a precedent for future applications on other ridges as well.
I share that concern with us. However, we already have one mountain that, for lack of a better term, maybe it's technically not correct, that's the sacrificial land. The towers are there.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Pisgah National Forest on Frying Pan Gap, the towers are there. I mean, they're and eventually technology is going to change to where we won't even need cell towers. It'll all be by satellite one day. And then the towers are going to disappear anyway because they're not going to be financially feasible. But we're not to that technological level yet.
No.
The towers are already there. No, adding another tower is probably not the best thing to do. But sometimes you have to weigh that against the overall good and public safety. And in my personal opinion, that would outweigh that protected ridge.
And maybe that's the exception because all those towers are there already.
And from my standpoint, you're technically replacing a tower.
That's an 80-foot tower, isn't it? I had to look at it.
Yes, an 80-foot tower will be replaced by a 150-foot tower.
Mm-hmm.
So technically we're not adding a tower. It is larger.
Right.
It's got a smaller circumference.
It's going there too.
But the monopole is going to have a smaller circumference than the current tower, which is wider.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in turn, it's taller. I think its location and providing that service to much-needed service to DuPont Forest. Is another plus for me in the infrastructure and the safety aspect that it provides the county. Those are the primary reasons that I'd be willing to recommend to the commissioners that the variance be approved. But I'm okay with approving the variance in the event we can't work something out, or the county prefers not to get involved with trying to work out a co-location on the Fox Tower. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just as a citizen and
yes.
a member of the public who will be directly affected by this, I live up on the Cantrell Mountain Road area, and I've actually spoke up when the cell phone tower was being considered up there, and I actually was surprised how easily we scared off the people who were going to build that tower up there. And that was too bad. I think a lot of people just wanted the ordinance updated. But I think a lot of my neighbors in that area, we just can't believe we still don't have cell service. And I think that this one, it doesn't even sound like it's an exception to the rule. I don't think, to me, it doesn't sound like this is a slippery slope that you're opening Pandora's box. I think this is something that the public is kind of expecting out of the progression of. I mean, if you think, where else in the county do we not have cell service? It's probably Toxaway, Balsam Grove area. So I think that, you know, the public is going to support the decision to move ahead with the tower.
And in the plan, it was the comments in the survey that Cedar Mountain Small Area Plan. I noticed there are two comments requesting improved cell service.
I can't text people how much I'm enjoying my beer at Cedar Mountain Cafe.
That's why I say it to you right there.
I think if we were allowing a variance to have a single tower on a protected mountain ridge, that'd be setting a precedent. You've got a point. I'm not saying you don't have a point. You do have a point there, but I don't think we're setting that much of a precedent, given the fact that there's four towers currently, and there'll still be four.
I see.
One will be replaced.
Would you like to hear Mark Tooley's comments now or later?
If he was able to be here tonight,
you would be listening to him now. The planning board recently spent a great deal of time to rewrite the Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance, which specifically identifies this ridge as protected and defines a protected ridge as the elongated crest or series of crests at the apex or uppermost point of an intersection between two opposite slopes or sides of a mountain that includes all land within 100 feet below the elevation of any portion of such line or surface along the crest. The cell tower location in question is within the bounds of a protected mountain ridge and needs to be moved down the slope such that it is 100 feet in elevation below the crest of the ridge as specified by the Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance. The coverage of the tower would be reduced, but if they move it to the south, coverage to the Cedar Mountain area would be established where none exists now. The other side of the ridge already has coverage in most places and would not be greatly enhanced by placing the tower on the ridge crest. This can be verified by looking at the coverage maps provided by the applicant. There is an existing cell tower on Rich Mountain Road that is 1.7 miles away that provides the coverage to the north side of the ridge in question. The Telecommunication Tower Ordinance states, Section 12, prohibited tower locations. The Board of Commissioners finds that mountain views and aesthetics are an integral part of Pennsylvania County's economy and thus prohibits telecommunication towers on protected mountain ridges. The county may also disapprove an application if the placement and location of towers would result in an unacceptable risk to county residents, the public, or employees. I'm not sure that a variance is even possible given the language of this ordinance and would discourage one from being considered. Consideration by the applicant should also be given to co-locating the proposed tower equipment on the nearby Fox Television Tower. The applicant has said that the cost is too much to place it there, and that may be partially true depending on how you define too much, but I suspect that they could still make money, not just as much. I would ask for a certified quote from the Fox Tower authorities and have that cost compared to the cost of a new tower and subsequent rental validated by a subject matter expert as evidence of the claim of costing too much to co-locate. It is very apparent that protecting the ridge tops from development is a priority of the citizens of Transylvania County, given that two county ordinances address the issue. I would ask that the applicant be directed to site the tower in a location that would be in compliance with these ordinances. Thank you for your consideration in this matter, Mark Tooley.
In the second paragraph of his letter down there, if we move to recommend this with the WHNS caveat attached to it, then we've met one of his basic requests.
Well, yes.
And I've got to be honest with you. I strongly support asking the county to work with, see if we have any leverage. I fully expect that not to go anywhere. But you don't know if you don't ask.
Asking for a certified quote from the Fox Tower authorities, mm-hmm, and have a cost comparison.
Yeah.
Maybe a way of not stepping on toes.
Very possible. I would prefer to allow the county to handle that, explore that however they see fit. But that would be a good.
The county, I think commissioner's part of it probably instruct Jamie or
yes,
somebody. I didn't come back and tell Joy to do it, but they should be on board with doing this. And so that whoever does the negotiation knows they'll back them up, mm-hmm, in the situation. But again, the basic question is, do you spend capital money or operating money?
Well, this raises another issue for me, and that is, and I guess they built the tower, they got permission to build the tower, or their grandfather, I don't know the history of
that. They railroaded that tower up so fast.
Okay. And so they in effect have a monopoly and they're charging an outrageous lease. So how do we know you won't do that? And I'm not saying you would, but can we not build something in there to say, if you're going to build a tower and you can allow three other carriers, what's to keep you from making it cost prohibitive for somebody else, and then we have to go through this again?
It's in my submittal that we will allow co-locators at standard rate.
I don't have that problem. Thank you.
You got to pay for that thing somehow, right?
Yeah. I understand that, but.
Yeah.
$4,000 is not business. It's monopoly.
Yeah.
Well, $6,000 a month today,
but it is when you don't have the subscribers to.
It is at over a period of 20 years.
Yeah. So are we ready to entertain a motion or further discussion? I don't want to rush into this. Whatever. After 2 hours.
I make a motion based on what you and I were talking about just a little while ago, that we recommend this to county commissioners, strongly worded with the caveat that it only occur after intense negotiations, if necessary, with WHNS. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's about all of the motives.
Well, let me go talk to them.
And they got to complete the application.
Oh, yeah. As I understand it, Bob Plumey's motion is to approve the telecommunications tower variance subject to a completed application, and only if agreement for a workable lease and reasonable rent can be obtained for the Fox TV tower.
So you're good with words.
That's well stated, Bob. Well stated.
You're a master of words.
Only cannot be.
There's a not.
The lease cannot be.
If I may throw a lease charge into it also? Because they can say, you may give them down, and then give us this lease that's unworkable. And I don't make the final decision.
I'm going to read the motion one more time, and it's available for edit. Bob Toomey's motion is to approve the telecommunications tower variance subject to a completed application, and only if agreement for a workable lease is obtained and reasonable rent.
Cannot be obtained.
Let me start over. It's only the agreement for a workable lease and reasonable rent cannot be obtained for the Fox TV tower.
He recommends that the county commissioners approve the variance.
He can't
approve, the planning board can't approve the variance.
So the motion is to recommend the Board of Commissioners
approve the variance, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes.
Relative to that caveat on the regions.
Are you happy with it? That hurt
me. I have, no, it's a bit of a pickle.
But it is.
I do feel like the welfare of the community outweighs the few people that will be impacted negatively. And that's a hard thing for me to say, but I do believe in this case, getting cell coverage out there, emergency services out there,
yeah.
DuPont gets a lot of visitors. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of accidents. Mm-hmm. And since we are replacing a tower, that makes it
a little
more digestible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is it ideal? No. I agree. I don't think it's a slippery slope. I think there's towers in place. So, but it is I would love to see this thing go on the Fox Tower.
Yes. Well, and yeah, your verbiage was something along the lines of intense negotiation or something like that. I mean, I really, this is irritating to me. It really is, because, you know, this is such an easy thing if we could just get them to come down a little bit. So it's not an unreasonable lease amount, and we don't have to build another tower that's twice as tall. That is so easy, it's unbelievable.
You know, good neighbors like Dollar General.
And I don't know, I just wish, and I really feel strongly that the county or whomever that ends up being addresses that with the TV station in the strongest terms. That, you know, this is a, you know, they should have to come and sit through 2 hours of this. Maybe they can sacrifice a little bit more, but, you know, you're going to make money. If they charge you $2,500, that's $2,500 more than you're making now.
Right, absolutely.
They're making nothing on it now, right?
The tower's been paid for 40 years.
So what the hell? You know, why not just, let's do a win-win thing, and if nothing else, it's going to appeal to their...
Worth a try. We'll have more news to cover, because people who are in emergency services will be able to get cell service.
That's true.
I think it's important to bring up is that we're only putting three panel antennas, and a 10x10 lease area. That's what our proposal was. I'm as angry about that Fox Tower as anyone.
Yeah.
Because, the seller came down on me like, why do we have these stuff done when, we have the lease negotiated?
Now, so we don't beat up on the Fox Tower too much.
Yeah.
I will note that they do, that is the main location for county emergency services communication. And I do know that they host broadband service off that tower as well for companies that provide it here for the community. So it's not like they're not doing anything. But obviously with that tall of a tower and the little uses that they have on it, it seems to me, I agree with you, seems to me that they could allow some cell tower panels to go up there as well. That's not in my line of business. There might be a good reason, but it doesn't sound to me like they're not just playing hardball.
Yeah.
So. All right, we got a motion on the floor. All those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Do we
not have a second?
I apologize. Not a second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. All right, motion carries.
Thank you, members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all's time.
I'm an extension. I didn't know.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your interest. Just so you understand, it goes from here to the commissioners now.
Thank you.
So the county manager or the clerk to the board can keep you posted as to when they're going to be considering this on their agenda.
Thank you.
Okay?
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just for the record, Steve Woodsfall did abstain from the vote, which is considered a nay.
Okay.
Okay. So it carried 5-4.
I'm going to send you the phone contact.
Okay.
All right. Does anybody need a break? Just for a moment.
A break.
We really need to consider the next one so we can get on to the commissioners. Let's take a few minutes to get a drink, run to the restroom, or whatever you need to do. We'll reconvene in 3 minutes.
How's it going? Say something more.
Okay.